Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. One believer ran a race against the grain of his day. In an era of spiritual darkness, it almost cost him his life. But his allegiance to the Scriptures led to a breakthrough of faith that still reverberates today. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we begin a series commemorating the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, the time of crisis in 1517, which led to a rebirth in the church, a rebirth led by Martin Luther.
On a hot day in July of 1505, a 20-year-old university student happened to be walking near Stotterheim, Germany, when he was struck down by a bolt of lightning. "Help me, St. Anne, and I will become a monk," he cried out. The young man had been struggling with what is known in German as Anfechtungen, that is, the anxiety of soul and spirit as he sought to be right with God, not knowing the way. And because of the vow that he made in that moment, that frightful moment when lightning struck him, he decided to leave the university at Erfurt, where he was studying law, and enroll in the Augustinian monastery in the same city. And there in the Augustinian monastery, as he was studying to become a monk, he hoped that he would be able to save his soul. Martin Luther decided that he would begin to pursue the methods of godliness that had been outlined by the church and to pursue them with a vengeance and enthusiasm and go beyond what was required. Luther decided that he would avail himself of all of the means of grace that the church had at its disposal. First of all, there was personal discipline. To become a monk, he had to renounce self-will. He had to live on a very scant diet, wear rough clothes, and of course also be willing to even beg and be brought to humiliation and be brought to shame. Martin Luther, along with all of the other monks, would be awakened at about 1:30 in the morning, would be marched into the church with holy water on their head, and then they would bow at the sacred altar. And there they would begin their day of prayers, of rituals, of confession, of study, and of discipline. And what Martin Luther decided to do was to go beyond what was prescribed to make sure that he would attract the attention of God and somehow calm his terror-stricken heart, the Anfechtungen, as it is said in German, which is at once anxiety, despair, existential angst. How can I become right with a holy and a righteous God? Sometimes Martin Luther beat his body. Sometimes, even though he was given a blanket, he would sleep on that hard cell, sleep on the floor in the cold without the benefit of clothing, because he wanted to make sure that the flesh was mortified. Martin Luther sometimes starved himself days on end in fasting until there was concern that his health would be affected because of the way in which he was treating his body, all to become right with God. It was there in that same church that we visited that Martin Luther performed his first Mass. His parents were present. His father was opposed to Luther becoming a monk. He wanted him to continue at the University of Erfurt and study law, but nevertheless, his father was present. It was there that he was performing his first Mass, and he was expecting that God might strike him dead, because he said, "Who am I but a pygmy and a sinner in the sight of the most holy, terrible, awesome God?" So Martin Luther decided to avail himself of all of the discipline that was at his disposal to mortify the flesh and to attain righteousness with God. But then in addition to that, he discovered that one thing that gave him a little bit of help, and that was confession. Confession was part, you remember, of the part of the process of becoming holy, part of the sacraments, actually a part of penance. And Luther would begin to confess his sins. Now, in order to remind himself of the sins that he had committed, he would begin by reciting the Ten Commandments and then reciting the seven deadly sins, just for starters. And then he would reach into his soul and he would begin to confess, sometimes 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours at a time, seeking solace, hoping that through confession his sins might be taken away. Later on in Wittenberg, where he did the same thing, Staupitz, his confessor, grew so angry at Luther. Finally, he said, "The next time you come to me with something to confess," he said, "let it be patricide, adultery, or blasphemy, but not these little petticoats, not these little sins that you're worried about." But you see, to Martin Luther, the issue was not whether the sin was big or little. The question was whether or not the sin had been confessed. Because Luther understood more clearly than most that God was absolutely holy, God was unapproachable, and the question was not whether the sin was little or big, for even a small speck could keep one from a holy and an awesome God. The question was not whether the sin, the size of the sin, the question was whether or not it had been forgiven. And now Luther suddenly reached an impasse in his confession, because he discovered, first of all, that maybe there were some sins that he had committed that he failed to remember. That was the first problem. But there was a second problem as well. What if there were some things he did that he didn't think were sin, but God thought they were sin, and so they were omitted? He had reached an impasse. Sins, in order to be forgiven, had to be confessed. In order for them to be confessed, they had to be remembered. If they were not remembered, they could not be confessed. And if they were not confessed, they were not forgiven. And so his Anfechtungen continued, unabated, the restlessness of soul. How does a person become right in the sight of a holy God? How can it can be done? Luther discovered there was a problem even greater than the impasse he had reached in confession. As he looked into his own heart, he discovered it was not just that he committed sins, but that he was a sinner. And he learned that his entire nature was corrupt, and the reason that he was sinning was because his nature was evil. And how do you deal with that? Follow carefully. For Luther, confession was something like wiping up the floor when the faucet is running. You see, even if he remembered all of his sins, even if he called sin the very same thing that God called sin, what about tomorrow? It's another day, a new opportunity to sin, new opportunities for confession, and the cycle must constantly be repeated. Martin Luther was about to sink into despair. He had tried the disciplines of the monastery, he had tried confession, but there was a third opportunity for salvation. And that was through the merits of the saints. Because you see, in those days it was believed that there was a treasury of merit. The Blessed Virgin and other saints had done more good than they themselves needed to do in order to be saved. So there was a reservoir. There were some extra goods that were available for people who would be able to accept the merit of the saints. Connected with this doctrine was the idea that if you viewed relics, and if you were in touch with relics, and if you owned some relics, then the benefits of those saints would actually accrue to you. And once again, you'd be able to add to your own merit by borrowing from the treasury of merit. In the year 510, Martin Luther was chosen to go to Rome to settle a dispute that had arisen among the Augustinians. The trip took several months because, of course, they walked all the way from Germany to Rome, staying in various cloisters along the way. But how happy Martin Luther was to arrive in Rome. He thought that at last in the holy city, in the eternal city, there he would be able to attain salvation, because Rome was the place of relics. And if he went to enough relics, if he visited enough churches, if he burned enough candles, surely then his existential spirit of torture would end. Luther was incredibly disappointed in Rome. He said that if there is a hell, Rome was built on it. He was disappointed because the priests seemed to be so irreverent. They said five or six masses when Luther had time to only say one. And he found out that the priests oftentimes ridiculed other people, and that there was no sense in which the priests seemed to be very concerned about their own godliness and about their own personal relationship with God. But nevertheless, that did not bother Luther too deeply, because years before, the church had determined that the life of the priest made no difference, that the sacraments had intrinsic validity even if the priest were an adulterer. And so Luther availed himself of Rome. He went over to the St. Lateran's Church. There are stairs there believed to be the ones that were in Pilate's judgment hall. Some people believed miraculously transported from Jerusalem to Rome. 28 stairs, if I counted them correctly, when I visited Rome some time ago. And Martin Luther went on those stairs one by one, saying the Lord's Prayer on each, kissing each for good measure. And when he got to the top of the stairs, he asked himself the question. He said, "Is it really so? Is it really so? Is this really the way?" And when I visited Rome and walked those stairs only because I wanted to be where Martin Luther had stood, I took a picture there that said that those who walk these stairs get X number of years off on purgatory. And people from all over the world come and still walk those stairs today, hoping to shorten their time in purgatory. Martin Luther came back from Rome, and his Anfechtungen continued unabated. How could he possibly stand before a holy God when it seemed to him he had done everything and yet was unsure that he had satisfied God even in one particular point? How do you become righteous to become accepted by God?
My friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and do you realize that this year, 2017, is the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation? You know, it all began when Luther posted those 95 theses on the castle church door in Wittenberg. And more books have been written about Luther than any man who ever lived except Jesus and Paul. And yet, interestingly, many Christians know almost nothing about him, his struggles, his heroism, his failures. I've written a book entitled Rescuing the Gospel, The Story and the Significance of the Reformation. I want you to have a copy. And at the end of this broadcast, you'll be given information as to how it can be yours. But also, I want to thank the many of you who support our ministry. Many of you supported by your prayers, by your gifts, and you know that we are dependent day by day upon the faithfulness of God's people, because the gospel, which was so central in the Reformation, is also central in our hearts.
To commemorate 500 years since Martin Luther posted the 95 Theses, Dr. Lutzer has written a new book called Rescuing the Gospel, The Story and Significance of the Reformation. A copy can be yours as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For all the details, call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. When you write or call, ask about Rescuing the Gospel. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.